Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
But again, I appreciate you guys being willing to be here and to talk about this. We'll get started and probably I'll ask a question and we'll have a couple of responses. And we got several questions, so we'll move on. And, if you're ready to, if you're just like dying to talk, you can raise your hand if you need to or, anything like that. But we'll have to go one at a time here. But as far as our questions go, one of the questions I think would be important, when we think about ministry in our culture today, the culture we live in, the culture you guys live in, what are some passages of scripture that come to mind? What scriptures equip us to deal with the culture that we're living in today? What do you think? Go for it, Zach.
So the first one that came to mind for myself would be Matthew 5, where it talks about being the salt and the light in a world that is just seems like we're being drawing so far away from Christ. It's a good reminder to how we have to be that example and be that just that shining light for that person that you never know how your one little act of kindness or how you handle the situation can affect someone. And then the next one that came to my mind would be Philippians 3 and how it's not a sprint. Basically, it's a marathon that we're running for Christ. It's not something that happens just overnight. That it's a lifelong race that we run.
Absolutely. As we think about working with our culture, that we might not have the short-term gains we want, but we're thinking about the long haul. We're thinking about what we're going to do overall. Those are great. What else? Anything else come to mind?
I'll go ahead and go. Two scriptures came to mind. Galatians 6, 1 through 4, which says about leaning on one another in times of trouble. Out today, it can get really hard. There's people that just want, not to attack you, but sometimes you can feel just like your faith has been attacked or you've been just kind of made fun of or something like that. But just lean on other Christians like what these guys are here. And, of course, 1 Corinthians 13, love first, That one, just love one another and just keep that, always keep that in mind. So.
Absolutely. Right. That importance of support,
right.
Ed, that's so vital. That's great. What do you think? Any other ones you guys want to share?
Yeah, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is one that kind of immediately popped into my mind. It talks about not being conformed to the world, but be transformed. A lot of times in the world today, there's a huge push on to be who you want to be or be whoever you want to be. That's the big drive in the world today. But in that verse, it talks about instead we need to be living sacrifices for God. That's what it talks about right before in verse 1 is present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And I think that's one of the biggest things for Christian or for college students today.
Yeah, that idea of refusing to conform but letting God transform me. Absolutely. Well, as we think about this idea, too, in your generation of spirituality, that's something that showed up in some of the questions. Do I have to be part of a church to be saved, to go to heaven? Can I just sort of do it on my own? What is it that your generation, your age group, values when it comes to spirituality? What do you think?
Well, I think one thing we kind of take for granted, in a sense, is the avenue of forgiveness we have because of Jesus' sacrifice for us. I think a lot of times we kind of focus on how easy it is to be forgiven, mm-hmm. rather than focusing on living in a way where we don't have to be forgiven. We don't try to improve. And so I think that's something we kind of take for granted and kind of pull away from what it should mean. And I think that's something that, if valued correctly, could be a lot better for our lives.
Yeah, that's I like that way of putting it, is valuing forgiveness. We'll want to live in a way where we might not need to be, forgiven, where we're wanting to obey and not just relying on that and being overly comfortable with that. Absolutely. What else do you guys see?
I think definitely we were kind of raised with the mentality that kind of we needed to take our own religion, spirituality, and like build up our own personal faith. Mm-hmm. And I think the church did a great job of that when I was growing up, at least. And I feel like I see that kind of across the board. But something I think that I've grown to value, and I think that maybe was either missing or I didn't think was implemented in a way that I really got it until I got older, was kind of the servant mentality that we need to have, and just serving those that are in need, and how big a part of Christianity that is. Actually, if I'd gotten to it, the verse that I had picked out was kind of in Matthew 25, verse 31 and on. It's like Jesus talking about Judgment Day and how it's going to be like, whoever you fed, and whoever who was hungry, and whoever you clothed who was naked, whoever you did for the least of these, that's what you did for him. And it's kind of important to remember, like, that's a huge part of who we are in our faith, is helping those who are in need. I think that's something that's kind of coming back around and something that's, like, more important to people our age.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, that the shift from maybe thinking about how is the church going to minister to me to how can I serve? And, you know, a lot of studies have pointed to this, to your generation as being passionate about serving. And so that I love the fact that you go to Matthew 25 and show that that's always been God's idea, you know. And so that's a really good point to bring up. What do you think? What else anything else you all see that would be helpful for us?
I think our generation really values independence. Like, they just, you know, want to go out and do it on their own, figure it out. But, which is great. And I think it kind of my time with Peyton, what he said. But instead of, what am I trying to say? And having independence, but plugging us in to serve, so they can independently serve and do it like that. So,
yeah, that idea, and of course, part of it is too just your stage in life, as far as independence is growing, and where do I fit in relationship to the church? But having both of those together, absolutely. What are there things that we've talked about? Sort of what they value. What are some things that maybe aren't as important to your age group, that maybe sometimes traditionally we might get in the habit of thinking, oh, this is really important, you know, but maybe you feel like your age group isn't as concerned with. And these can be things that maybe you think they should be concerned with, but just kind of what do you see when it comes to that?
Well, say, I think one of the things that came to mind would be kind of along the lines of, if I'm going to be becoming part of the church, am I going to have to give up my lifestyle that I'm living now? Is it going to hinder me from having fun with my friends that maybe that aren't Christians? Am I going to have to change something about the way that I'm living my life that may hold them back from living that Christian life?
Yeah, absolutely. What's going to have to change? What's going to have to be different? Well, as we think about your generation too, what are some things about the church that you feel like, when you think of people your age, that really excite people your age? I think Peyton mentioned the service aspect of it. That seems to be a key. Is there anything else, and not just for us here at Graymeer, but just in general, that you feel like, hey, our age group has a real passion for this, and that plugs into what the church should be doing or is already doing? What do you think? What are some things that really kind of excite you about the church?
I think one of the things that really a lot of college-age Christians can really agree upon is that we all look forward to being around people with a common mindset and a common goal. Because especially at like a state university, like I'm at Alabama, and so it's not uncommon to be the only one in the room who's a Christian.
Yeah.
And so really when you're able to meet up with different Christians your age and see that you're not alone, and there's other people at different ages, different points in life that are right there with you, it's really encouraging and can really help you get through the week. Not that it's like it's always you're on your own, you feel like, or anything like that, but it's just a nice boost to have. But that being said, while some state schools like Alabama are bigger and there are more people who maybe do not believe, it's not to say that it's any less valuable than a Christian school.
Sure.
Because, like, while getting a Christian education can be good, in the grand scheme of things, that's not important. What's important is being a Christian while getting your education.
Yeah, wherever you go, having that faith. And I will say, most of you probably know this, but these are also all guys that are actively involved, not just here when they're here at Graymere, but also where they go to school in a congregation. And so that's one of the reasons I think it's neat to hear from you guys, because that's a part of your life in several different places. And so I think it's good for us to reflect on that. I wanted to kind of just continue along that line. Do you think there are any negative attitudes that you feel like you've seen among people your age that you think we shouldn't be thinking this way? I mean, are there some things that you've had to deal with that would be helpful for us to know about, to get to know where you are and what you're dealing with?
One thing that comes to mind is kind of the thought of they want a savior, but they don't want a Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They want someone in the end to basically save them, but they don't want to give up the lifestyle that they're living right now. Another thought is kind of going back to one of the points mentioned earlier would be is the Bible believable? Is it hard fact, or is it just another book that is written? How do we believe in what we're believing and what we're practicing and how we go about that?
Yeah. And that's something that came up in the other questions too about what can we really believe the Bible? So just stopping there for a minute, what are people questioning that you've had conversations with? What is it about the Bible that they're asking questions about? Because those questions may be different than previous generations. You know, it might be the same. You mentioned already, Zach, kind of the behavior part of it. You know, am I going to have to change my behavior? But when people ask, can we really believe the Bible? Is there anything specific that you've seen them looking towards to say, can we really believe this? I mean, is it?
So one of the things is, just that it was written, 2,000 years ago. I mean, basically we're talking about a person that lived 2,000 years ago. How can it be? I mean, some of the earliest books are still several decades removed after his life.
Yeah.
How can we believe the eyewitness accounts and even the miracles? I mean, we live in an age of science where it seems like kids are wanting, I mean, they almost have to see it to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you can't see it, it's kind of puts doubt in their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So trustworthiness, you know, of scripture and that kind of thing. And that's helpful to us because that helps us understand, what as we're thinking about reaching out to others, what do we need to focus on? You know, what are some areas we need to go over more as well? What else? Any other kind of negative things you guys have run into?
Yeah, I think definitely a negative attitude is definitely like, why would you want to go to church where they can just tell you what to do? You know, pretty much that's the mindset almost. Like nowadays, do whatever you want, do whatever makes you happy, do whatever you feel like doing, instead of, you know, you got to go to church where they tell you what to do. I feel like that's like a more present attitude. It may be just always been there, but that's what I kind of get to feel like. But I just feel like people our age just do whatever they want, and that's just the attitude they have.
Yeah. Yeah. What, and that gets back to that behavior thing too, of okay, what am I going to have to do to get through this? So absolutely. What else? Any, you guys have any thoughts about that one?
Yeah, I think just Christianity in general is viewed very negatively in the world right now. Anyway, mm-hmm. Mahatma Gandhi once said that when talking about Christianity, he said that it's not your Christ that I don't like, it's Christians that I don't like because they're so unlike their Christ. And one of the biggest problems with people in the world and Christianity is that they don't see Christ in us in the world. And Christians can be viewed as hypocritical a lot of times. And I'm not talking about this congregation. This congregation is filled with wonderful people. And you can see evidence of that because of us. And the people who've had influences on us. But we just have to make sure that our lives are truly focused on showing God's love, and that that love isn't just shown in the church building, but the people in the church, especially the younger kids, the kids in the youth group, that they see that we are people living out our faith each and every day, and that they're people that they see people who love Christ and who have a deep relationship with Christ.
Absolutely. That's vitally important. What do you think are some strengths that when it comes to ministry, what are some things, maybe it's because of the stage of life you're in, or maybe it's because of kind of the knowledge you have as a generation and kind of where you're placed in the culture. What are some strengths that your age group brings to ministry and brings to the table? What do you think are ways you guys can really serve and are serving?
I think besides what I've already said about, obviously we're like young, we have time, we have that sort of service-oriented ideals. I think something else that's kind of sprouting up more and more in our generation is people that are in the church and kids that have grown up in the church or going to the church our age kind of are bringing back this idea that we just kind of look for joy in church and in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think maybe gets glossed over sometimes with like learning the Bible and learning like what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act and even learning to serve. We forget like we're supposed to find our joy in that, and that's like something we can go to when we're weary.
Yeah.
And something that can bring us happiness and bring us life. I think that's something that is definitely a strength of our generation that we're kind of like finding our identity in.
Yeah. That is so important, because it's easy sometimes to lose sight of this is where the joy of the Lord is to be our strength. I mean, this is where we find our joy. What else? What other things come to mind?
I think our generation, we want to serve. Like, we want to get out there and help, do what we can. I just feel like sometimes we feel that people we're just unproven. You know, there's people in the church that have done stuff for years, served for years, and then you have a young college kid that wants to help. They're just unproven almost.
Mm-hmm.
So we have college students here to do anything, you know, go out and serve, do it, knock on doors, evangelize, teach class, whatever you want. I mean, obviously we do whatever, but we want to serve, but sometimes we just seem like we're unproven because we haven't done it, you know.
Yeah. So part of it is just that finding ways to get experience and to get in there and sort of have some of those experiences and figure out how that works. And I kind of, you know, I hate that school's starting back up, because I know Chad said he needed some more three-year-old teachers. So, I mean, you guys, we could have all kinds of ways to serve. But I think that's right, finding those ways to plug in. What else? What are some other strengths that you guys feel like you are sort of uniquely suited where you are in life to be able to do? Anything else come to mind?
I think oftentimes we get a bad rap about not wanting to be involved, and I would say that is just the opposite of that. I mean, we're a very passionate generation, and when you get several young people together, I mean, attitudes, I mean, they spread quickly. So, I mean, you get several people doing good works together, and it continues to spread. So I think we have that willingness to serve, and we're very passionate about growing the church.
Yeah, do you guys ever get tired of all the articles that come out about millennials? Although, I guess, is that even, are you guys millennials, or are you kind of on the edge? I don't even know what the next group is called. We haven't come up with a name for that, or it hasn't caught on yet. It is tough to sort of sometimes get the bad rap of that. So just being reminded that, hey, we can be a part of things is really important. What else? I don't want to skip over anybody. Ready to go. Well, let me ask you this. We talked about this a little bit, but I want to just hear from you and maybe even flesh out some of the things we heard. We asked the question, what do we need to know when we're ministering to your age group? Now, obviously, we are a family. The church is a family. So while we have classes and things for different ages, we also want to connect with different age groups. And one thing that came up in these responses is this idea of relationships. And I know this is not, this is a surprise question because it's not necessarily on what I gave you. But I just wanted to see, as I'm thinking about that, one of the comments said it was kind of intimidating sometimes to talk to folks that are older. Have you guys ever kind of felt that, maybe a little intimidated? You don't have to admit it, I guess, here if you don't want to. But, you know, sometimes it can be a little intimidating. And what I would say from the individuals I've talked to is that sometimes those who are no longer in the young adult class, is that a technically, a politically correct way to say that? those who have moved on to other classes, sometimes they feel intimidated by talking to young people. And they're kind of maybe thinking, well, I don't know what we would talk about. So I kind of noticed, I think that may go both ways, that sort of reluctance sometimes, and that's natural. And so maybe one of the things we can do as we keep ministering to this age group is to encourage some of those personal connections. But what else would you want people to know if we were thinking about not just having a Bible class, but if we have people who visit who are where you are in life, what do we need to know to help minister to them?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is if you're not a member here, it's super intimidating to walk into an auditorium and not know a single person in it when you're off at school. So when you see that person that walks in that auditorium, I mean, just a simple hello, can I offer you to sit with them? I mean, that does a world of difference. And make that one-on-one connection with them. Ask them how they're doing. I mean, and if you continue to follow up on it, I mean, that definitely gets them more involved and makes it less intimidating to fill a part and to get more involved there.
Yeah, we tend to feel very comfortable here, but if you're a guest and you walk into a place this size, it would be very intimidating. That's important for us to remember, especially if you're in a new place, you know, going to a new school. What else? What are some other things we need to know? Now is your chance to say what you've always wanted to say. This is it.
I would just say, like, for our age in general, we're at a point where we're transitioning into, like, growing up and being raised by somebody and then moving on to start our own lives. And we're at a point where there's going to be a lot of questions. We're going to be reaching out. We're going to need people to reach out to because we have no idea what's going on. I once saw a quote one time that said, it turns out adulthood is just Googling everything that you don't know. So we're at a point where there's a lot of stuff that we just don't know, and we're going to need people to reach out to. And those people need to be the people that are closest to us. And those people need to be the people here at the church building. And those relationships, I think, start with the kids who sit in the section over there every Sunday night and the kids who are in class right now. Those kids would love to have a bunch of influences and a bunch of different people at this church around them as they grow up. And I think that's where this ministry starts. And if you start those relationships now, they're only going to grow.
Absolutely. That's a great point, that we don't have to wait till someone is you know, graduated from high school to form those relationships. We can start that sooner. Absolutely. What else do we need to know? We're getting close to wrapping up, so I want to give you your last chance here.
I think one important thing is, obviously with this generation, just keep an open mind almost. Just some people are, you know, some weird people out there, but just keep an open mind and just make sure you just feel or accept, make sure they feel accepted, and then make sure they feel welcome, and you know that you need to make sure they feel like they can open up to you and connect to you.
Yeah, love that. That making sure others feel welcome, and sometimes that'll mean we have to go out of our way and do something to make sure they feel that and make sure they know that. Take the initiative. What do you think? Peyton? Christian? Peyton's giving me the thumbs up. You agree? That's good. Do we have a question? Oh, we've got a question. All right. Sorry, Jeff. I was looking the other way. Yeah, the question was, if you're going to a school like Alabama, a large state school, how many people that you run into have just never been to a church building at all? And this would be a totally, like you said, a totally different planet, a totally different experience.
Well, most of my close friends, I'd say the vast majority, have grown up in a church. But as far as those that I go to class with, I would say probably half would be completely out of their element here, and probably 80% of the other half would not be something that would be a regular thing for them. It would be something that they come once or twice a year with family, but it doesn't really mean much to them. It's just something that you do at this time of the year. And so I would say that a very small number is active. I know that my campus ministry down at Alabama Tide for Christ, we looked up some numbers of what percentage was Church of Christ. There are about 40,000 students, and around 600 consider themselves Church of Christ. And maybe half of that, probably closer to a third, can be found at a church down there. Well, it's kind of hard. Sometimes you have to just try to find common ground and get to know them on a personal level first. At least that's what I try to do. And usually there's will be a campus ministry around for most big schools, at least, but pretty much any school. And different things we have devos every Monday night, but that'd be a little more, I guess, intimidating for someone who's not been associated with that before. But we also have free meals every Wednesday night, free meals for college students. It's generally a good thing. Then you got, we do different activities that sometimes aren't necessarily church related, but it's just activities that we can spend time together with fellow Christians, and that can be good too. And you just kind of slowly build up to where they're a little more comfortable, meet some more people, and then God will do the rest.
Yeah, I'm kind of picking up on that, a lot of the relationships like we talked about. But I'm glad that Jeff brought that up, because sometimes we forget that someone coming into a place like this, it may not be that they haven't been to a church in a while. It may be that this is completely different than anything they've done. So I really, that's a good thought for us to reflect on too. Any other questions you guys have? I said this is their chance. Well, now's your chance, I guess. I saw someone pointing somewhere. Yes. Sir, Joe. That's a really good point. It's kind of like there's nothing new under the sun. We may have different variations of it that use technology in different ways, but you've got those same elements of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, or we think of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All those show up. Yeah, and that's a good point to bring up, too. That's another area. Many of you have served in the military, and that's another place where you run into people from all kinds of different backgrounds, and you make those same kind of choices and deal with that. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Great question. What was your lowest point after leaving, and how'd you get through it?
I guess it would be walking into that auditorium for the first time at a church you've never been to. You don't know anyone in there. I would say you kind of lose that comfort because you're raised. I mean, if you're raised in the church, you're raised there every Sunday, and you're walking in there with your family, and then to be on your own there. I mean, it's kind of an intimidating factor, and there's no one there forcing you or bringing you there with you. I mean, it's kind of you have to make your own decisions, and I mean, it's left up to you on how you handle that situation.
I would say the lowest point would be the right when I got to college, because I feel like, well, Blake and I go to Freed, so it's just we're spoiled. We get, you know, Bible class every 3 times a week. You know, everyone, you know, a very good percentage of the people there are Church of Christ. So the first time you get there, you're like, man, I've done this for 18 years now. Now I'm on my own. I don't have to. But then after a while, you're like, wow, I really need to start going. I need to be at church. I need to start connecting with people and start learning more about my faith and about Jesus. So.
Yeah. Seeing that need there, you first get there. And obviously, I'm not saying that just because they may be in the room, but obviously missing your parents and your family, I mean, that was really tough, right? I mean, you just nod your head on that. That's good. Okay, good, good. Good deal. Yes, sir. Monty. Great question. You think about a lot of the online classes being offered. Some of you guys may have had to do some of that. I'm sure even in your classes on campus, you've had to do a lot of online stuff. But if you're from your perspective, what would a professor need to do, a teacher need to do to help you and to reach out to others?
There was a study done a couple years ago on college students and why they either retain or renounce their faith once they get to college. And one of the biggest reasons they put their faith in doubt was because of the professors that they encountered. And at Freed, like Nick said, all the professors at Freed are Church of Christ. So that's not really something that we had to deal with. But I'm sure something that Christian has encountered, Zach may have encountered, in that professors can be very... very forward about their ideas and their thinking, and especially if they are against what the church teaches. So I guess one of the best ways would be to make sure that in your teachings and not even when you're talking about like the Bible, just in your everyday teachings, to make sure that that you aren't putting someone's faith into question, but instead you are helping strengthen that faith in whatever way possible. And that kind of depends on, I guess, the situation of what you'd be teaching or what the subject would be. But there are a bunch of different situations where you can take any kind of topic and turn it into something that can be beneficial for somebody else.
I had an online class, and my teacher took at least 15 to 20 minutes before every class, because we had to Skype in every time. She would take at least 15 to 20 minutes to like ask everyone how they're doing and how they're just talking to them, trying to make it the personal connection instead of just, here's your information, good luck, I'll send you the test later. So she was always trying to make the personal connection and just try to seem more friendly instead of just someone just giving you stuff to study and to take a test on. So.
Well, this has been really helpful, I think, and I know we may have some more questions that you have that you want to discuss with him. I love the fact that we can do this as a church family. I love the fact that these guys were willing to be here and to be open and honest with us and appreciate all those who answered the questions that we gave. Obviously, as Joe's already mentioned, there are things that stay the same no matter where we are in life, and every generation faces some of those same challenges. But it's good for us to take times like this and just remind each other of the fact that we're here for each other. And what I keep hearing are the terms about getting to know one another and relationship building. And so that would be a good, I think, a good challenge for us. But we'll go ahead and we'll close with a word of prayer. And then I know you want to thank these guys and tell them how proud you are for them joining us here tonight. But let's all pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time together. I thank you for these young men. I thank you for all of our young people that are in their different situations, different places where they're going to school, different areas they're interested in learning about and working in, the different fields they'll go into. I just pray that you would help all of them to continue to shine your light wherever they go, and that we as a congregation could be a support to them. I also pray that you would help us as we think of people in those circumstances that might come through our doors for the first time. Please give us the wisdom and the heart and the passion and the compassion to reach out and to figure out ways that we can help and be a blessing, and ways that we can plug everyone in to ministry as we all seek to serve you. Ultimately, Father, we pray that everything will be done to your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Good job, man. That was awesome. That wasn't too bad, was it?